This afternoon, let's turn to 1 Corinthians and read from chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer. Our society is like, and we find ourselves in it likewise, is that we are always on the go, and we seem to go from one thing to the other and to the other, and there's very little time to simply just sit and have our minds just simply focused on one thing. But thankful for opportunities such as this that we have this afternoon is simply that we can just come into God's house and now just simply sit for a while. No other distractions, putting our phones away, putting other things that we need to do away, and simply come here in the house of the Lord and be fed by the Word of God and sit and repose for some time and just be in the presence of the Spirit of God as He would speak to us. This is a blessed time that we have together as a body of believers and friends who gather with us. This chapter that we read this afternoon begins with the conjunction and, meaning that there is something that is written beforehand that goes along with what is written in this third chapter. So if we go back to chapter 2 and we read some of the things there, he's speaking to them that there's a difference between a natural man and a spiritual man. The natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So for a carnal man, a natural man, he won't receive these things that are of God. But we who have believed, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so there's a difference between a natural man and a spiritual man. And he's speaking of these things. To a natural man, a carnal man, the things of God are foolishness to him, and he cannot receive them. And so now he's continuing on here in chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able to. And so he's saying to them, I want to move on. I want to move on and feed you with spiritual meat. I want you to fill you with something that's going to strengthen you. And from before, you weren't able to receive it. And even yet now, you're not able to receive it. And so I have to feed you with milk, is what he's saying here in these first couple verses. And he says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So he was comparing in the last chapter that there is those who are carnal and then there are those who are spiritual. We who are spiritual have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And we rejoice in these truths, and it humbles us, and it draws us to him. But if there is envying and strife and divisions, such a one is walking carnally. Such a one is walking as a natural man and not by the Spirit of God. He's saying this is clear. This truth is clear. If there's strife, if there's divisions, if there's envyings, those are all rooted from the works of the flesh, from that which is carnal. And then he explains to them, he says, for if one is saying, I am of Paul, and another is saying, I am of Apollos, are you then not carnal? And if we go through the whole chapter and we look at it as a whole, he's saying there at the very end, and as he's explaining all these things, he says at the very end that everything is yours. Why would you settle for something like simply like, well, I'm of Apollos? Why would you settle for something like that if everything is yours? And we are Christ, and Christ is God's. Why would you settle for something so petty, for something so trivial as you want to associate yourself with a man? And so he's saying, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. The Lord gave whatever gifts that Paul had to him. The Lord gave whatever gifts Apollos had to him. Everything was of the Lord, and they were simply men who were used of the Lord who proclaimed the gospel. So if we go back to Acts of the Apostles, we read a little bit about Apollos. The Bible says that Apollos was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures, and he was fervent in the Lord. The Bible also says that he had a way to reach the Jews. So not only was he an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, he was instructed in the ways of the Lord, and he was fervent in the Spirit, and he spoke and taught diligent the things of the Lord. This was Apollos, an eloquent man, able to speak. And then it says, and he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Apollos was given that gift. When the Apostle Paul, earlier in that chapter, in Acts 18, was trying to convince the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, that they wouldn't believe him. And it says that they blasphemed, even as we heard about this morning, blasphemy. So they blasphemed those things which the Apostle Paul was trying to bring to the Jews, but Apollos was an eloquent man who was able to speak to the Jews and show to them that Jesus was in fact the Christ. And then the Corinthians here, they had an opinion of Paul. 2 Corinthians 10:10 says, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. His speech contemptible, meaning that it's worthless. It's despised. How he spoke, it was worthless. It was despised. It was contemptible. But the way that Apollo spoke was eloquent. Yet they both brought forth the gospel. One was more effective with the Gentiles. The other was more effective with the Jews. But they both brought forth the gospel. And so he says, the Apostle Paul here, continuing on in chapter 3, saying, I have planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gave the increase. One was doing one portion of the kingdom work, and one was doing another portion of the kingdom work, but it was God who gave the increase. And then he rightly says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but it's God who gives the increase. I believe if we always remember that, one is doing one thing, another is doing another thing in the kingdom of the Lord, and it's for the glorifying of the Lord, and it's for the edifying of the body of Christ, and it's for drawing those who know him not unto him. It's not about that individual. It is about God who gives the increase. There was a time when Peter preached to the multitude, and thousands came to believe and were baptized. And there was other times that Paul preached and there was no, or Peter preached and there was no results. It's God that gives the increase. Ours is to labor in his kingdom and to do our part and leave the results to the Lord. He continues on and says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Paul recognized that he and Apollos had the same mission. They were both glorifying the Lord. They were both pointing to Jesus Christ. And they were one in this. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together for God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He's saying to them, we're laboring in the kingdom of God. And we are simply just part of the kingdom or the husbandry of God. And we are God's building. We are God's building. Sometimes in the scriptures we read that the Spirit of God indwells us individually, and then also we read in the scriptures that the Spirit of God dwells in us together as a body of believers. And in both cases, these can apply where he says that we are God's building. And then further on in verse number 17, he says, we are the temple of God, whose temple ye are. As a body and individually. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And this is where I'd like to focus a little bit this afternoon. There is one foundation that can be laid, and that has been laid, and the Apostle Paul says there is no other foundation that can be laid but that of Jesus Christ. And so we know that there is no other way. There is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. He is the foundation. And ours is to build off of that foundation of Jesus Christ. But we are to take heed how we build thereon. If any man build upon this foundation, and he names six materials, gold, silver, precious stones, which would be good, strong, sturdy materials, and then wood, hay, stubble, which would not fare so well in a fire. And so he's saying that we're building upon this foundation of Jesus Christ. What will it be? Will it be that which is enduring, the truths of Jesus Christ, or will it be that of a man? If one is carnal and he's associating himself with Apollos but not Paul, then he's building with wood, hay, and stubble, with those things which will not endure, and which those things which lead to strife, envying, and divisions. We know clearly that the Bible says that there's one thing that God hates, among others, there's one thing that God hates, and that is one who sows discord among the brethren. And so there was division here, because one would say, I am of Apollos. I am of Apollos. I don't follow that man whose speech is contemptible. Yet, clearly, the Lord was with Paul, or vice versa. And so we are to build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Precious stones. Think of how in Revelation it speaks of the foundations of the New Jerusalem. And just like to maybe read some of those. And so we can just think in our minds how good it is that we would build with those precious stones, gold, silver, and all manner of precious stones. So it speaks of this New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. It says, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysophis, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. These all manner of precious stones that we're building in our lives, individually and as a body of believers, that would bring honor and glory to the Lord and would survive and endure through that which would test it, even as a fire. For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So what is it that we would build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives as individuals and as a body of believers that would bring glory to the Lord? What are the teachings of Jesus Christ? How is it that we would build something that would be as the precious stones and gold and silver? Well, first and foremost, we want to know who the Lord is. And how we get to know who the Lord is by having a relationship with the Lord. We speak to him through prayer, and he speaks to us through the Word. And we go through life, and we experience things, and God shows us more things. So it's important that we offer prayers to the Lord. It's important that we are sincere in our prayers. God knows all things. We're not going to come before him and reveal to God as we're praying to him that something that he doesn't already know. So we are to be sincere before him. Even as that publican that went to the temple to pray and he said, smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. No eloquent words, no great words. He just simply said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we are to come before the Lord with sincerity. Lord knows all things. Lord knows what we thought about during the day. What have we allowed to continue to think about during the day? Lord knows these things. So we are to come before him in prayer. And we are to be fervent in our prayer, knowing that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This is how we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, that which is strong, robust, and will endure. Gold, silver, and precious stones. These are these things. Prayer. Sincere prayer. Fervent prayer. Praying for others. Even as Jesus Christ prayed for us. This is what he's calling us to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with these solid materials. This solid way of life. We are to read his word. We are to read his word and spend time in reading his word. Whenever we're the freshest, whenever it works for us that we're going to retain something. So then for some of us, that's in the evening. For some of us, that's first thing in the morning. Whatever it is, let's make sure that we make the time to read. Let's make sure that we make the time to pray. If we don't make the time to pray and to read, Satan will ensure to it that we will not find the time. He will busy our lives, and we are go, go, go. And we won't find that time to read and to pray and to consider and meditate upon his word. We build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ by having fellowship one with another, by encouraging one another, by edifying one another. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We help each other, and we help have fellowship one with another, and we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, that which will endure, both individually and together as a body of believers. We are a fallen people living on a cursed earth. There are times when we don't get things right, or we don't do things right, or we don't say things right, and therefore we need to repent. And repentance is almost like a continual thing for a child of God. This is how we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with that which is enduring, by a continual repentance of those things which displease the Lord, and rid those things of our lives. And the Lord is well pleased with that. He wants us to see us repent of things that displease Him. He says here in this chapter, "Let no man deceive himself, for if any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise." Let's not be wise in this world. Let's more focus upon being wise in the Lord. The wisdom of God, as we've been referring to often in James chapter 4, speaks of that the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom of God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. It's peaceable. It doesn't do what we read here, envying and strife and divisions. The wisdom that comes from on high. And so we are called to have that wisdom that is from on high. That wisdom that is from on high is not only peaceable, but it's also gentle. If we're gentle, how can we have strife? How can we have strife if we are gentle? And so we are called to the wisdom that is from on high, and to put away the wisdom that is of this world. The wisdom of this world is me first. How can I outdo you? How can I show myself to be stronger and wiser and get ahead of you? That's not the way of the Lord. He doesn't teach us these things. Those things are wood, hay, and stubble that burns whenever there is a fire. We also build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ to produce a spiritual house that is strong by having temperance in our life. That's a fruit of the Spirit, self-control, that we have something we want to say. We want to set the record straight. What was said was not right, and we want to set the record straight. Temperance says, It doesn't really need to be said. God is right. God is right, and we know that. In other ways, where in our carnal mind, it wants to bring forth that which would cause envying and strife and division, and by temperance, by the fruit of the Spirit, by the Spirit being within us, that gift that God has given that is so precious that we are not to blaspheme it, that we are to have temperance in our lives by obeying that still small voice and not our carnal will. There are other enduring principles that we can build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ that are built of solid materials that are in addition to praying and reading and having fellowship and having continual repentance and wisdom that is from on high. And that is, well, faith, love, and hope, as we read later here in this book, that we are to have faith, a faith in God that is so strong that we believe that there is nothing impossible with God. Again, going back to the previous chapter, he writes that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God, it doesn't fail. The power of God does not fail. The power of God does not need to be recharged. The power of God doesn't need to be refueled. The power of God is always there. And if our faith is in that, we are building a habitation of God. We are building the temple of God. We are building upon that foundation of Jesus Christ with that which will endure. When our faith is strong in him, we might see things crumbling and falling apart round about us, but our faith is strong in God. But our faith is strong in God. And truly, Jesus Christ has taught us to love. Taught us to love. He taught us to love our neighbor. He taught us to love one another. And he taught us to love our enemy. And you know, we're a fallen people living on a cursed earth, and there are things that go wrong. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But when we exhibit and show forth the fruit of love in our hearts and in our lives, and it's clear, it's coming out, it's clear that there is love here, that is so liberating. It is so liberating for the one who would be giving love. I don't need to hold a grudge. I don't need to say something back. I love this individual. God sent his son to die for that individual. I love that individual. God loves him. I love him likewise. And it is liberating to go through a situation like that with love in our hearts, and that's building upon the foundation with that which will endure, that when the storms and the trials come, and as the Lord Jesus pointed out in the end of his Sermon on the Mount, that if we build upon that rock, when the winds beat vehemently upon that house and the streams beat vehemently on that house, that it will stand because we have heard the truths of the word and we have kept them. Another strong material that endures, that will not be taken away by a fire, is suffering with Christ. When we suffer with the Lord, the Bible says that we will also reign with him. And the disciple is not above his master. And so if we suffer with the Lord, it'll only make our dwelling place, our house of faith, to be strong and robust. We are to live lives of purity. We are to live lives that with unquestionable fidelity to what the Lord has called us to. We are to give. We are to forgive. We are to show mercy. This is what the Lord would have for us. When we do all these things, we are building with that which is strong and enduring, gold, silver, and precious stones. It will not fade. It will not collapse. The fires, the trials of life will beat against our house of faith, and it will not fail because we are walking in the ways of the Lord. We are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you're Christ and Christ is God's. Everything is ours. The Lord will provide for us everything, but ours is to walk in his ways. Ours is to have a strong relationship with the Lord, that when the devil comes and bumps us hard, that we stand in the Lord. We are not moved by that, but we walk in his ways, and we please him well in all these things. When we build our individual houses, when you're spending time in prayer, and you're spending time in the Word, and you have love in your heart, and you're giving that the Lord would give back to you, and you are forgiving that the Lord would forgive you, and you are showing mercy because the Lord delights in mercy, and he is the Father of mercies, then your house of faith is strong, and you have built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that which will endure, that which will endure. And when you do that, then you encourage me likewise to do that. And then we all encourage each other to do that and to know that it is an abomination in God's sight to cause divisions and have envying and strife. But he delights when we are walking in this way that he would have us to walk in love and in peace and in mercy and in reading of his word and in praying unto him and walking humbly with him and repenting where we need to repent, softening our hearts and not hardening our necks. So we edify each other this way. And then we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ together a habitation of God. And what a wonderful, beautiful thing. And these are the things of the Lord that give him glory, that is of meat. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians about this habitation that we are creating for God when we walk in his ways. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We are of the household of God. I know I've mentioned this before, but I want to say it again. You know, sometimes we all live fairly so-and-so, and I know exactly who lives all in that household. They are part of that household in that house. But here the Lord is saying is that we are of the household of God. We are fellow citizens one with another. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Again, we're not building a house on anything other than upon Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. We're building upon that chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ himself, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Very critical words, very important words. The building fitly framed together, it's tight. It's tight. It's all together. There are no divisions. But it's fitly tight together, being fitly framed together. It grows to an holy temple in the Lord. In the Lord. Because we have love one for another. Because we show mercy one to another. Because we want to edify one another. Because we have repentance in our hearts. Because we forgive. Because we give. We use the wisdom that is from on high. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So here the Bible is speaking here in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Spirit not only and God not only dwells in us individually, but in us together, in whom ye also are builded together. All of us are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're a habitation of God. When we walk in a spiritual state, when we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, when we live for him, and we are dead to self, we are dead to those things which are of the natural man, and we live for him. And we grow into a beautiful, magnificent structure with Jesus Christ being the foundation. And the Lord is well pleased in us, and he dwells in us, and he fills us, and his glory is made known in our midst. May he grant us grace day by day to ensure that we are walking in his ways, that we live out his ways, and that we can all be strong together in him. Amen.